Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast, where we'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way, we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 5, Why Use Premium Fuel? Oh man, do I have to? Just first off, I want to say, hopefully you can bear with my voice. I'm on the kind of a backside of a sore throat and cold and type thing. So apologize for it, but I want to try to honor my commitment of making at least one new podcast a week. So I get this question a lot. I'm going to talk, certainly I can talk specifically about BMWs because that's what I know. But I think this information is applicable really to any manufacturer because, and I'll explain this in a bit here, a lot of them use certainly the same strategies as far as timing and changing of ignition timing and so on and so forth. Right off the bat, BMW does require, unless you've got a really, really old car, but if you pay attention to when you open your fuel filler cap and assuming that the sticker is still there, it shows 91 octane, which in this country, that is premium fuel. There's a number of reasons for that. I mean, BMWs are high-performance cars. Therefore, they have higher compression than a lot of cars out there. They're certainly more performance-oriented. The fuel injection system is set up for it. The ignition timing map is set up for it. So the requirements are that, yes, you need to be using 91 octane fuel. I have customers who maybe have already decided or just used lesser fuels, whether it be 89 octane or all the way down to 87. The issues, first off, right off the bat, and this goes back to 1986, before we had anybody knew anything about what's called Tier 1 or top tier fuels. I was working at the dealership, and there were some issues that were becoming what's called carbon related build up on the backs of intake valves. BMW and Chevron did a joint chemical study to figure out, is this an oil issue? In other words, was it an engine issue as far as BMW was concerned, or was this a fuel issue? And it became through study and checking the carbon that was actually on the backs of intake valves, it was found that this is a carbon issue from fuel. The fuel at that time did not have the proper additives in it. So Chevron was leading the charge with BMW, and that's when they came up with Tecron. And shortly after that is when Tier 1 or top tier fuels were, that term was put out there. One of the benefits of using any kind of a brand of fuel that is a top tier or Tier 1, one of the requirements of that level of fuel is all of the grades of that brand of fuel have to have the same additive package. I'm not going to give you a list of what is Tier 1 fuels today. For certainly, Chevron is one of them, but the list can and does change. If you want to research that on your own, just Google Tier 1 or top tier fuels, and you'll get the latest brands. But like I say, the main thing is that those particular brands at any given time, with them being classified as Tier 1, they have all the grades of that fuel have the proper additive package that is part of what's making it a Tier 1 fuel. Okay. The reason that it's important to use what the manufacturer says, and this is where people don't realize that by using a lesser grade of fuel, you think you're saving money. I can't give you, experimental studies, but this is just, I can tell you my own real world experience and what I know for sure. And that is that by using a lesser grade of fuel, a lower octane, especially on a BMW or any car that would be maybe higher performance, or even if it's just a regular car, that maybe you drive, sportingly. What can happen is, and this is even more prevalent as a car gets older and it gets carbon buildup in the combustion chamber area, it actually increases the need for a higher octane fuel. because you're effectively raising the compression ratio with carbon buildup. The issue, and with BMWs, is that if you go to a lesser grade of fuel, you go from a 91 to an 89, you are reducing what's called the knock rating or anti-knock rating of the fuel. What happens in any engine, and we've all probably experienced this, whether it be in our own cars or you're next to somebody or you're in a friend's car or whatever, and you're going up, the car's under a load. In my area, that would be the Caneo grade. If you happen to be in Ventura County or you know that area, you know what I'm talking about. But it doesn't necessarily happen to be some big heavy load. It can be just starting off from a stop sign, and I'll talk about that in a bit. What happens is that, you know, we've all been next to cars or in cars where you hear that marbly kind of sound, like there's rattling going on. You are hearing either what's called pre-ignition or detonation, and either one of them are not good for the engine, and it does reduce power. For a long time, BMW has what's called knock sensors that are typically mounted on the cylinder block somewhere. There's usually at least two or more of them. And what they are doing is they're actually feeling for that noise that you're hearing. When they start to feel pre-ignition or detonation, it reports it back to the engine management control system. And what that does is it starts to retard or basically push back the ignition timing. The thing is that by doing that, yes, you are potentially, hopefully, saving it from where you're having that actual knocking noise or pre-ignition that's going on. The issue is that by retarding the ignition timing, you are removing the potential for power production from the engine. Okay, so you're using a lesser quality of fuel. You're trying to save money, but what's actually happening, and again, this does vary with how you drive the car, the atmospheric conditions. I mean, there's a lot of variables, but basically, the car now has to work harder because it's not producing as much power to accelerate the same amount, so you get the same feeling as what you would normally feel. So the engine's got to work harder. You don't realize it because it is subtle. So you end up with a heavier right foot. So now you're forcing the engine to work harder. You have more emissions going out the back, which also, of course, means lower fuel mileage. And you're putting a strain on the system. And the issue is that the knock sensors, the way that map programming is set up, it can only have so big of a window to make an adjustment. So in other words, the engineers have set it up to where it can only retard the timing so far. So, again, depending upon grade of fuel, quality of fuel, conditions you're driving it in, there is the possibility that it could retard it as much as it possibly can, and there's still audible or inaudible knocking going on, and now the system can't even protect the engine. Okay? And so this is all because, yeah, you're trying to save a few dollars on fuel. It's just not good, you know, economic sense to do that. It's really just, it's a false economy type of a thing. It's just not a good idea. Long term, it can, in some cases, short term, it could possibly damage the engine within a few minutes of driving. I can't say I've ever actually seen that happen myself personally, but there's always the possibility of it, and it certainly does and can happen out there. It just depends on the situation and the car and the load that it's under. You know, I mentioned the Caneo grade. I mean, that's a 6% grade close to where I live. I don't travel it every day, certainly. It's just it's a different way of where I go. But I used to travel it when I worked many, many years ago at a local dealership. And it's a pretty good load. And getting back to I was mentioning on my own little experiment, I currently and plan on having for probably the rest of my life, I've got a 2002 BMW 530i manual trans. And yes, that car requires 91 octane fuel. As an experiment, shortly after I got it, I bought it used. It had about 51,000 miles on it when I bought it. I thought, well, let's just see what happens. So I on a tank, it was due for, you know, fill up. So I went from a 91 octane to an 89 octane. and I drove it. I have a 4.5 mile commute. It's just road surface, just normal, no big deal, no big load, just normal surface streets. Got I think 12 stoplights to get from one place to the other twice a day. And I started noticing from time to time, if I drove it a little bit harder than I normally would, I could hear a very slight pinging under certain conditions. And I thought, huh, okay. And some time went by, and I thought, well, let's try the ultimate here. Let's go to 87. Well, I didn't do any harm to my engine, but I'll tell you, that pinging was, it was the only way I could control it to where I couldn't hear it was driving the car really easy. Okay. So ever since then, certainly I went back to 91, and I've been using 91 octane ever since. I personally use Chevron fuel, but that's me. You can cover yourself again by looking at, seeing what is the latest brands of tier one fuels. Chevron is certainly going to be a one of them. The last time I checked, I think it was Texaco, maybe Shell. I just, to be honest with you, I don't remember offhand. But if you're interested and you care, then just keep an eye on that. But it's definitely a worthwhile. You're making an investment in the performance of your car, the longevity of it, and again, you're going to be using a fuel that has the right additive package, and it's going to do what you hopefully want it to do as far as protecting your engine and giving you the performance you want. That's about it. Again, I apologize for the tone of my voice, a little bit crackly there. I hope you found this to be informative. And again, please, if you have any comments or questions, please post them on the pod webpage there, and I will certainly try to answer them. And again, it might be a question where you give me an idea to, as a subject matter for a new podcast. So keep the comments and everything coming. I appreciate your time. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.